Everyone, welcome to Nancy's Metaphysical World and More. Today, I have a great guest. I'm so excited to have him on. We are going to talk about a lot of topics. Not everybody will probably agree with what we talk about, but it's at least worth taking a listen to and also checking out his website. So, Alan, welcome to the show.
Hi, Nancy. Thank you for having me on.
You're very welcome. Alan, I went through your website, and by the way, the website is www.2012yayas. That's yayas.com. And it has a lot of really, really good information on it. A lot of stuff that when I met you up at the UFO convention, we talked about briefly, but you and I tend to agree with a lot of things. And it's all on your website. So first, before we start that, Alan, tell the people a little bit about who Alan is and why you put up a website like this.
Well, it's not really cut and dried, two-sentence answer. All through my life, I've really questioned the goings-on of the greater culture. I've always felt that something just wasn't quite right, that things were out of whack as far as the people who are pulling the strings of our fate.
Right.
And
I
came across a spiritual coach and in Hoska Harrison who was the median for a group of spirits collectively known as Jonah. Well, through his lectures and teachings, I found that I really did align with it. And I started looking into the greater information that's out there that pertains to.
Alan, we're back. Hopefully there won't be any more interference with the sound, so go ahead where you left off. Hello, Alan, did you get disconnected?
Hello.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Nancy's Metaphysical World and More. My name is Nancy, and I host the show. And again, today we have a great guest on. I'm looking forward to talking with him. His name is Alan. His website is www.2012yayas. That's yayas.com. And I met him at a UFO convention, and we have a lot in common. So, Alan, again, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And I'm going to have you basically start over because some of technical stuff.
Okay.
So talk a little bit again about who you are, Alan, why the website, why the journey, and then I have a lot of questions.
Okay. I've become much more spiritually attuned in the last few years because of my own trials and tribulations in my life and what had not been working for me. I come to find out that I'm an early indigo child. A child. I'm in my 50s. So yeah.
You're still a child.
I am. Child at heart. My wife can attest to that. But throughout my life, I've kind of been on a different path than the mainstream, and my views were never really in line with the machine. The corporate machine, or the ongoing things of popular culture, and so with that, I was like, "Well, how come I'm out of sync? What's my deal? What's going on?" So I sought the help of a spiritual coach, and just to have an Akashic reading done. I had that to find out what my past lives were. Just these curiosity things. But the most helpful was connecting with one medium who channels a group of spirits collectively known as Jonah. And with that, he coached me to go more inward and looking at my own life and what has been working and has not been working. And so with that, things just kind of evolved that with the way things are happening and everything seems so corrupt and there's just so much greed, it just is getting stronger and stronger. And it just became unbearable. So I decided it's easy to put up a website, it's easy to do some research, and it's easy to put my spin on things. And the more I researched, the more I found, justified my feelings all along throughout my life of how things should not be. And as I come to find out more about this time of transition and the galactic alignment, what's happening out in the cosmos with the planets, the Mayan calendar, there's just too many coincidental things which are coming together for the perfect storm. And that perfect storm is the change of the Earth. It's going through growth pains now as though it's being reborn. And these are labor pains we're going through.
You know, it's really funny, Alan, because ever since I was a child, and I, like when I was 6 years old, and I really had a freaky accident, my angels came to me and told me that 2010, and they kept repeating to me 2010 over and over again. And I grew up seeing images and visions and different things of what was going to be going on as far as the earth goes, as far as people go. And it wasn't a lot of pleasantness, I can assure you. But at the same time, because I was very young and very awakened, for whatever reason, it all made perfect sense to me. But what didn't make sense to me is why other people didn't understand, or why they weren't seeing it, or why, you know, they weren't trying to make a change. And here we are at 2010, and all of the things that they showed me as I was growing up is here, and it's happening. And I kept going, okay, well, bring it on, which is exactly how I feel now and have, mostly because that's the only way that some changes are going to occur. You know, whether it's the Big Bang, the Great Awakening, or whatever that might be in people's minds, this change is here. And your website goes into a lot of detail on many, many topics. And for anybody who is doing any searching, I really suggest that they took a look at your website. You did a very good job with it. You have a lot of very, very, very powerful information on it.
Thank you. So, and I update this every day of the week, also in a section called This Just In. I spend probably at least 4 hours a day quickly scanning news articles from tons of different alternative news sources. I've come to the point where I don't read any of the mainstream media newspapers or watch any, really much of any of the news that's on, because it is so, it's all disinformation. They're muddling around with the smaller issues when the greater issues are falling in our laps, and people are wondering what's going on, and there's no one there to say, consider this, look at it from this perspective. And that's what I do. That is probably the main vein that runs through all my work, is consider looking at it from this perspective.
Yeah, it's really funny because a lot of people, Alan, are very closed-minded, and I don't listen to the news. Believe me, when news comes on, I leave the room. My mom listens to it, and she gets all in it, and I don't, because, again, for a long time, I've known that a lot of the media that comes out there is control factors and not very truthful, and it's a way to keep people living in fear and all mixed up.
Right.
So I'm with you. I don't listen to the news. There's one part of your website, though, that I really want to talk about, and that's, you know, because of what I'm doing. And that's the part that has all the different type of children that have been coming into the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's real important, Alan. So start, you know, start kind of with, you know, the beginning as to how you found out your information, say, with the indigos, and we'll work forward with that. And then, of course, I have other questions, but let's start there.
Sure. In my research, I am pretty much a sponge for information. I credit to my drowning. I drowned when I was 20 years old and went through the tunnel of light experience and all that, and have a complete remembering of everything that happened. I did not go into a lot of teaching with those spirits at that time. I was returned, but I was left when I came back with a huge new curiosity for the world around me, and just in general, I had an insatiable appetite for new information. So I read everything I got my hands on. So that carries forward with the research I'm doing here. I was looking for a long time for different paths to possibly go spiritually wise, to see what people were doing in the metaphysical community. And I came upon some information about the new children. And the more I read, especially about the indigos, then I realized that, wow, I actually posted the test on my website. It's a test in a sense. It's about 20 or 30 questionnaire. And I am an early indigo. By all the attitudes and all the things that have happened in my life and just how everything came together for what's called Alan, I am an early indigo. So with that, I felt, well, wow, people need to know this information. And they also need to know how the powers that be, the FDA, the AMA, and other academia practicing medical practitioners are suppressing these kids with Ritalin and a lot of other AD. What are the
ADD?
Yeah.
ADD. Yeah. They really are.
They are, and they're suppressing these kids to the point of being just conforming to the normal goings on of a classroom. The people do not know how to communicate with these children, and that's why they're being recognized as having problems, when in fact they are so gifted, they are beyond the intelligence of the adults around them to deal with them properly and to nurture the gifts that they do have.
Yeah, but see, that's a big problem there, Alan, because today, in today's world, the parents are so stressed and so worried about how they're going to put food on the table, how they're going to have a house to live in, how to take care of their children. And they have a very hard time with these children, mostly because they're curious. They're trying to teach the adults something. The adults don't want to listen, so they, in their minds, and they are coerced in it to many, many different levels. Give your kid a drug, and the kid's going to be fine. Okay,
They're just suppressed into surrendering what they have to offer, and the adults are living in survival mode to keep a roof over their head and everybody fed and everybody happy for their current lifestyle. What they don't understand, that whole lifestyle is quickly going away.
Not only is it going away, but it is so outdated that if these children do not get the right, let's say,
nurturing,
cut off from the drugs and the nurturing that they need, we're going to be in a bigger mess than we already are. And unfortunately, people are starting to, go, well, what can we do? And then fortunately, the ones go, well, this is what I'm going to do. And it takes somebody with a lot of guts to stand up and say, no, I'm not testing my children for ADD, ADHD. I am not giving them these drugs. I am going to learn from them. People are finally starting to pay a little bit of attention, which I think is very important.
Yes, absolutely. There's a there is a vaccine foundation. I'm not quite certain of its email or its website, but there's a lady who works who started this vaccine foundation, and it is a whistleblowing movement to inform parents about the problems with vaccinations and how many the kids get and just what these things, what's in these chemicals, which are really, they're altering the DNA of their children. And this is really, it's dark business. It's the dark side of really humanity taking over here and doing these things. And for what ends? To suppress, to turn everybody, these children into walking zombies? If that's the goal, then that's just incredible.
Well, it kind of is the goal of certain parties. I mean, also throughout your website, you've talked about the Illuminati's, which is coming, and the Bilderberg group, which a lot of people do not know about the Bilderberg group, what they have done, what they stand for. So for people who do not, they need to look it up and check it out because it's pretty scary. And when you throw in the Illuminati part in there, too, it gets scarier. So we have the Indigo Children, we have the Crystal Children, and we have the Rainbow Children. Mm-hmm. According to what you have learned, Alan, what is the difference between each one of these groups of children?
Well, they're born in different time periods. The Indigos really started coming on the scene in the early 50s, and they came forward to, probably the 70s. And from then, that's when the Crystals started coming on board, being born. And it was really about a generation. And for about 20 years. And these overlap, each of these groups. The last of the Indigos were born, 1997. The Crystals went for about 15 to 20 years also. And then the Rainbow Children, a friend of mine is an intuitive, and he's very gifted. And he works out at the airport in Denver. And he'll be there, and he's a hybrid human. He's a hybrid human, part alien and part, it sounds off the wall, and a lot of people will say, oh, baloney, but if you look at the fellow, he has the features of someone who is not truly, completely of this planet. But when children see him, especially the Rainbow Children, they'll tug on their mother and say, he's one of them. And he's heard this. He's heard this said by these children. These children have powers which are off the charts. They communicate telepathically when given the opportunity to develop those abilities. So the greatest influx of these kids are between 2010 and 2030. And they, in the end, will be the ones who are guiding humanity to the next age.
See, and that's one of my things for my school of now. My logo has a comet with a picture of a little girl, which is my granddaughter, and above it, it says, our hope, our future. And that is such a powerful statement that people are just beginning to understand that, you know, they are our hope and our future. And for people to continue to test them. There was an article that just came out lately about the testing that they're doing on children and how they're going to make it mandatory on having every single child from age 0 to age 18 be tested for ADD, ADHD, or whatever else that they can put them on their drugs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's they're going to make it absolutely mandatory. It's just amazing. Well, the website that the people it's the National Vaccine Information Center, National Vaccine Information Center, and their website is www.nvic.org, and there is a lot of breaking news. You can get on their mailing list, and there's a lot of information there that they put out, and they stand behind everything that they do, and they're involved with trying to stop this, these new rulings of mandatory testing for kids when they're know, it's just not right. Absolutely not right.
It's not right at all. And I think that they're mostly doing it because they're running in fear, because these children are so very, very intelligent. And I think a lot of our so-called officials are very afraid to allow these children to really be all they can be, because they are in that fear state.
Well, they are now, fearful. It was Churchill that said, unintelligent population is much easier to control than a healthy, smart one.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can keep everybody in fear, traumatized, and drugged up, it's a perfect scenario for sheeple, for running everyone around as sheeple.
Mm-hmm. And really, that's what they appeared like they're trying to do. Now, you have some other topics on the website that I'd like to talk about, okay? One of the topics, you talk about the ancient man and how they were actually giants. And we go back into all the Bible talk, and we have different scenarios for the Bible and different people who have their say or whatever. But your site also shows how these giants came to be. And even though some people may not necessarily believe that, can you, Alan, explain it a little bit, how the giants were here?
Well, there's a lot of belief that the giants are actually still here. And they are, I was told recently by one of my teachers that they are living on the inner earth. They are living at the inner earth. And there are portals around the world. And a few of them are right here in Colorado. At least the general places, areas I have the knowledge of, and they're, you know, they go back hundreds of thousands of years, and the like 400,000 years, for instance. And the reason why there so very few of their bones have been found is because the makeup structure of their bones were different than ours. Ours are more dense; theirs were more airy, so they do erode and they break down, like anything else that erodes. But like, I'm not a Bible scholar, but the Nephilim were to have commingled with the women of Earth at that time. And so the fallen angels then had children by these women, and they were a breed of giants, as the angels were. So that was the beginning of their population.
Now, were they known as the Anunnakis? Is that part of the fallen angels?
Well, the Anunnaki, you can go that direction. The Anunnaki were the ones who really tampered with the human DNA to create a race of humans that would work for them on the Earth, because the Anunnaki had their own, they had their own workers on Earth for mining a lot of minerals. This is going back hundreds of thousands of years ago. And when they were mining minerals, their workers were, you know, fatigued, and they were revolting. So the Anunnaki decided they had to have why don't they really harness the native creatures on Earth? So they did DNA, you know, stem cell research, if you want to call it, their own altering of the primitive beings that were on Earth, and they brought them up to a standard where they were more human-like. So with that, they had their worker beings, and many escaped. And when the Anunnaki left, these people were left to fend for themselves. And over hundreds of thousands of years, most have died off. Now, there are mounds in Missouri where they found grave sites of many of these in the Southwest. There are grave sites all over the Southwest, and I've seen photographs of the skeletons with red hair, the giants with red hair. And many of these skeletons are even in museums. There's a museum north of Reno. I think it's in Black Rock, but in that area, there's a skeleton on exhibit there at this time. So, and the Hopi in the Four Corners area refer to the giants a lot, and there's believed to be a cave which the Hopi have, and in this cave there are a few sarcophagus with clear crystal quartz lids on them, and they're see-through lids, and there are 10 or 12 foot giants in each of these sarcophagus, and they are perfectly preserved as though they were just sleeping. The Hopi believe that in the next few years they're believing that these giants will come back to life. So there's a lot of hidden, suppressed things out there. One of the big ones that happened around 1909 was in the Grand Canyon. On an expedition going down the canyon, one of the explorers saw what looked like steps way above the waterline of the river. So they stopped, they went up to that area, and it was though there were steps that were coming down to where the water level used to be. And at the top of the steps, there was a cave. They had gotten into this cave, and they started wandering through this huge maze of rooms. And what they found there were tons of artifacts, much of it in gold, a lot of it in different alloys, which tens of thousands of years ago, none of this could have been created by what academia now says was the emergence of primitive man. Well, after the expedition, they went back and brought in the Smithsonian Institute. Well, the Smithsonian collected all of this stuff, took it back to Washington, and it disappeared without a word ever said again. That whole area of the Grand Canyon is now, and has been forever, off limits to any park personnel or anyone else from entering that whole area. So it's up the Little Colorado River, up the Little Colorado. So, yeah.
Alan, do you think that with more people wanting more information or true information, that there will be much more findings coming in very soon, especially between now and 2012?
Well, there are a lot more people attuned to what's going on, and many of them bring credentials with them as physicists and other areas of science. And there are a larger group of physicists all the time who are getting on board with the idea of Nibiru and the different things which are happening, and how the global warming is indeed not caused by man parking their SUV and letting it idle for extended periods of time, but is really from outside influences from our solar system. And more on this information is coming forth all the time. When I first started this website a few years ago, and before that when I was researching, there was very little information out on this subject. And what was out there seemed to be shared by a group of fearmongers drinking out of the same pool. So it was some disinformation, a little bit of solid information. But now if you start looking, researching Nibiru and what's out there, it's amazing. There is a lot of hard evidence that's cross-referenced with information from NASA and NOAA. So there are people putting a lot of time to bring these truths forward, but it's a matter of people letting down their fears, their fear components, getting out of their comfort zones and saying, wow, this is what's happening. This is the evidence. This is what's going on. And coming to grips that yes, this is where we're going. This is the beginning of the new age.
Yeah, it really is. Now you talked about Nibiru. I'm not sure that a lot of people know a lot about that planet. So maybe go into a little bit of detail about what you've learned about Nibiru, so people understand.
Sure. Nibiru is a brown dwarf. It's It does not have, through a normal telescope, it cannot be seen. Through an infrared telescope, it can be seen because its surface is said to be very gray and very cool, kind of like a charcoal. But on the inside, it is very hot and fiery. That's why the infrared telescopes are able to pick it up. And at this time, it is coming at us from way, way south in the universe compared to north and south as we have it on Earth. It travels almost in a 90-degree path compared to Earth and the other planets of our solar system. If we're all on the same horizontal line from the sun out to Pluto, all the Earth, all the planets of the solar system, Nibiru would travel from north to south almost as a direct intersection of 90 degrees to all the other planets. So it comes passing our way every 3,600 years. It just so happens about 3,600 years ago, there were some very dramatic changes in Earth and things which happened at that time. And as the archaeological record goes back, it seems as though this has occurred many, many times before. And with each passing, what has been found in some areas where they've done the digs are very thick layers of a red dust. That's why the Chinese call it the Red Dragon. There's probably a half dozen different names that this planet crossing has been called. So it's showing up now. It's becoming more visible. NASA's beginning to discuss it. They're beginning to make correlations between the earthquakes that are happening at a very high rate anymore, the weather that's happening, the magnetic storms from the sun. It plays all into the perfect storm. Like I said earlier, it's a number of things coming to a head all at once. So it's here, and I think it's not on the 10 o'clock news because of the fear factor. They don't want to tell anybody, it's raining until we're up to our neck in water.
Yeah, but the problem with that I see, Alan, is that people are starting to wake up and they know it anyway, and the fear factor is going to be made a lot worse by people still trying to hide everything than they would just finally come out and say, yes, there's UFOs, yes, there's ET, yes, there's people who are hybrids, yes, we already communicate with them, yes, we've done this, yes, we've done that, instead of going, no, which totally is the wrong thing to do at this moment because everything is changing.
Well, that's all based on control. It's all control. How do you control the masses? There will be such mass hysteria, lawlessness, loss of morals. Religions would kind of be, okay, where's your God? Show me your God now. If all this is happening, where's your God? Come on, it would be so disastrous to the culture and society as it's been put together that the powers that be are not letting on that any of this is happening. But the powers that be are building the seed vault in three or four places around the world, and Bill Gates has got the keys to those places. There are things happening outside the mainstream news that once you start getting attuned to some of these things, it all falls into place. And with that, then you take stock and you say, okay, what do I need to do for my own self and my family that I might be able to live through these inconveniences? So one of my teachers says to have 30 days of food and water. So, keep that in mind. The solar storms will be knocking out the power grids.
And people are going to go crazy because they won't have a telephone or a computer and they won't know how to communicate.
Well,
they'll have to actually start to talk.
Well, that'll be a nice start. Well, this next year, there will be a much greater amount of meteorites and meteor showers to the tune of about 750 per hour, I've been told. And then in 2012 is when the heavy-duty solar storms will start, and the corneal mass ejections. And those are the ones that will be knocking out the power grids. A friend of mine is in the radio communications aspect of emergency services, and they were to a meeting with Xcel Energy, and one of the people from the Pueblo power station revealed to him that their large transformers take 6 months to obtain on a good day, and those are obtained from South Korea. So when everything goes out and those transformers go out, it's going to be a long time before those transformers are reformers are replaced. And there are really only three power grids in the United States. One of them is controlled out of Pueblo, and that runs from Oklahoma, actually from Texas, up through Oklahoma to Canada and west. That's the western grid controlled out of Pueblo. Another grid runs from Texas, Oklahoma, north to the East Coast. I'm not sure where that one is powered from. And then there's a third grid which runs independently, and that is just for the state of Texas. So there are not a lot of small stations, as you might think, powering up this whole country. There are three stations with a bunch of huge transformers, and they're the ones that are keeping the lights on.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Now, there's going to be some other things that are already happening that the people really aren't being told about. And, you know, you talk a little bit on your website about the global warming, which has kind of been proven to be a farce with what they've said.
Mm-hmm. At least to the point where man has had so much of an impact. There's a lot of methane gas being released out of the Arctic region during the summer at this time, to the point where man's input to the total is less than one-third for what is being released by the defrosting of the tundras. There is so much biological matter that is underground there and in the ground that's been frozen for so long because what's up there was previously a very fertile, easy living part of the world. It was probably more tropical, much more tropical than it is frozen now. And they're finding this. And they're finding a lot of animals up there, a lot of mastodon and such, which still have frozen fresh berries and leaves and other foods in their stomachs. So when this event occurred, it fast froze everything in a matter of days or hours. Now, with the Chile earthquake this past springtime, the Earth did shift about 12 degrees, at least 12 degrees on its axis. And that was immediately recognizable by a lot of people just looking out their window from where the sun rises each morning.
Mm-hmm. I made that comment to somebody who's a friend of mine. I said, you know, the sun isn't rising like it used to. Mm-hmm. And no, is it traveling the same way it used to? And I said, if you look up in the skies, you'll see a moon come up, and you'll see the moon go down, and you'll see it come up again before the night's over.
Wow.
And they said, now, how do you know that? And I said, well, because I'm awake a lot of the time, and, you know, I'll see the moon, you know, like at, say, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and it's, you know, starting to set by 5, and then again at 2, the moon is back up again,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I said, those are some strange things that's going on. I said, because I, as a child, I don't remember stuff like that happening. I said, but the sun is coming up very much different now than it did before. But what I find amazing, Alan, is that although the Chilean earthquake created such a shift, there was not a lot said about it. But the big story was the earthquake in Haiti.
Yes.
And what I find amazing with that one is that when we had all of the, you know, the floods down in New Orleans from, you know, the hurricane and everything coming in, it took our government about 7 days to send people there to help straighten it out. But for Haiti, they had military patrol there within 24 hours.
Yes, they did.
Now,
well, I had a dream of the Haiti quake a week before it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And what I saw was I saw a perspective from a hillside and all of these buildings knocked down. And it was complete destruction. And I even remember seeing water in a swimming pool from way up above. I asked, it was just coincidental, but a week after the Haiti quake, I had a session with one of my teachers, and I asked, did I have a premonition dream of Haiti? And he said, yes, you did, in fact. And he said, this is Haiti. Mm-hmm. He says, everyone has the abilities of precognition. You just have to let your intuition accept them.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're always getting messages from our spirit guides and our guardian angels and such, but we just keep our defenses up because we don't want to feel like we're, you know, off kilter or not with the crowd or, you know, why me? Why me? Well, why not you? They're here to help us.
They sure are.
Not to get off track. Well, here's what this teacher of mine said. Haiti was a man-made event.
Yes, I believe.
Because of the oil that's underneath. It was a harp.
And gold.
It was a harp-induced event to allow easier access to the oil, which is under there. Same thing. Katrina, again, mm-hmm. a man-made event through HAARP. The main reason for that was to feel the pulse of the American public and what they would do in the event of a major catastrophe. The reason for it was, what would the benevolence be of the American people? How would they react to support one another without government interaction?
Probably a lot better. But a lot of people.
Well, they proved it. They waited. They yeah. waited at least a week before doing the right thing.
Right. But they also did that for some of their own personal reasons, too.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people, Alan, they do not know about HAARP. Do you want to explain that a little bit? Can you explain it?
Some. That was. It really started in the 1950s in England. And it was something of an offshoot of Nikola Tesla's research.
Mm-hmm.
And this group in England saw fit that they thought that they could change some of the weather patterns to their benefit and others around the world. And what they did at that time, they induced such a severe rainstorm that there were in England, there were mudslides and floods. And it ended up killing about 50-some-odd people. And they felt that they had this incredible tool in their hands, but they could not come forward and expose it because of their own liability, what they had just done. So they put it on the shelf for a while. Then another researcher here in the States, picked it up, ran away with it, and patented his processes. And at the patent office, they kick things upstairs when they see that the research coming through could be of a national importance or national security. So they did that. So this fellow was kind of put out of the loop of his own patent information and his research, and then the federal government took it over. When they did that, they started experimenting with weather alterations and earthquake to the point where they can create earthquakes. And that's what they did in Chile. They've done that in other countries also as a means of keeping them in check for their political purposes. It's kind of like a finger wagging and saying, hey, don't do that because we'll mess you up.
Big time we'll mess you up.
Yeah.
Now,
so there are about four of these installations around the world. There's one in particular is up in Alaska. That seems to be the one that gets the most press all the time. There was an interesting book, which I have not read, but it's interesting because it's always referred to, and it's called This Harp Is Not Played by Angels.
Good and title.
Harp is spelled HAARP, if anybody wants to look that up.
Yeah, they need to look that up. Ellen, could you give your website out again, please?
Sure.
So people can go to it.
Yes, but the website address is www.2012, YAYAS.com. 2012 YAYAS.com. I chose that back when I first started putting this together, because I thought, well, here we are, we're at the end of humanity in a sense with this culture, so get out your yayas, like the Rolling Stones album. But once I looked a little bit deeper below the surface, and yayas in a number of primitive cultures means elevated spirit, and I thought, wow, this is a happy accident. This is cool.
That was a great one. Yeah. Yeah. There are no accidents. There are no accidents. You got to keep that in mind. Part of the thing on your website, and we're not going to talk about this a lot because I want people to go to your website, and you talk about the Rothschilds and how they have controlled or tried to control, you know, the food, the monetary system, and the whole bit. And now it appears that they are a little afraid of this big shift that's coming. So can you talk about them for just a short period of time?
Sure. You call them the Rothschilds, the Illuminati, powers that be, the Dark Ones. But the Rothschilds is what really comes forth throughout history. They started out as a small banking family in Germany, and from there, just through their abilities, their four or five sons were sent out from the father to different countries to start banks, and they became the national banks of those countries, to the point where those banks were supporting Napoleon and even the forces that were opposing Napoleon. They were supporting financially both sides of wars. And when they found out that they could do that and keep both nations who were at war in debt after these wars, that was their key to success. Keep all nations in debt forever, regardless of whether they win wars or they lose wars.
That's a pretty big thing, because not only did that happen, but according to some of their history, the global financial crisis, the housing collapse, and the big oil manipulation has all been going on by them.
Yes. Well, BP is owned at the core by the Rothschilds, the Bank of England, which is Rothschilds, the Crown. The Crown Company, which is they own 1 square mile within London, and that is the England base of operations for the Rothschilds, the Crown Company. BP, like I said, is at their core owned by the Rothschilds, as is Goldman Sachs in the United States, as is the Federal Reserve in this country, which was started in 1913 by a group of global bankers from Europe, and they just forced it upon the United States at that time. It was attempted earlier in the time of George Washington, and was attempted again later during the time of Lincoln. And there's a significant amount of evidence that points that Lincoln was murdered because he would not adopt what became later to be known as the Federal Reserve. So
yeah,
it's once you start looking at the history of things, it's amazing what comes up, and it's like, oh my gosh, and this is
and
also associated.
And what's really sad, Alan, is that we the people have allowed it, because that information is out there for anyone and everyone to look at if they want. But because we have become a very lazy society, thinking somebody is going to take care of us, we've lost all kinds of stuff.
The country of entitlement. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Absolutely.
And if we don't wake up, we are really going to lose so much more people. It's going to make their head just totally spin, like, you know, more than a 360-degree turn. Mm. Now, there's one other thing that I want you to make mention of, and that is the mechanism of the New World Order, which has been happening for a while, but people still aren't waking up.
Well, it's really, we're at a point now with the financial collapse that they do have people running in fear. And there's a QE2, which has now been put on the table by Bernanke, and it's not going to happen. It's just putting off and suckering the greater population into a comfort zone of, hey, let's let loose with our spending again. But there's a second financial collapse, which is quickly approaching us. And that, it's going to happen. It's in the cards. It's how they're playing it. What is at the end of this process is they want to create as much fear for survival within the populations so that the populations will say, Uncle, I give up. Please help us. We'll do whatever you say. What is the next thing? And what that will be is a group of currencies around the world. There will probably be three major currencies around the world. That will be the next big step. There will be the Amero, which will be for the United States, Mexico, and Canada. That's going to be the currency of this string of, you know, our continents here. There will be one for Asia also, and there'll be one for all of Europe. And that will be the next big step, because when you control the currency, you control the whole thing. So it's where it's going, it's where it's how it's being put on the table, but people don't have to buy into it as easily as they might like us to. They've done a heck of a job in this country with getting enough sodium fluoride into all of our foods and drinking waters that people are quite docile in not asking the big questions, not stepping up for their rights as human beings, and just taking what is pushed on their plate. And that really could be just keeping things so easy for them to do as they please with us.
It's real important. The other thing that's on your website that I have said to people many, many times, and it's about the earth and how it is cleaning itself. And this is a process that it is going to go through because it has been here for thousands and thousands of years, and it's not going to go away, but it will get rid of the excess debris that we here are and what we have created. Would you agree with that?
Sure. Well, there's some information I've been reading about recently. A few times it's popped up, and that is in some of the universities where they keep uranium. They keep a grade of uranium there for research purposes, and that enriched uranium is actually losing its potential. It's losing. It's going into almost like a half-life state. So there are powers beyond man, which are stepping in to cleanse the earth. And one of the ways of cleansing it is to get rid of this terrible substance, which it's what it's being used for is for weapons.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good thing to see. It's like, wow, okay, this is happening, and no one needs to do anything about it. It's happening on its own. The earth is cleansing itself. The earth is not going to let itself be destroyed.
No, it won't. And I have told people that many, many times, that it is going to cleanse itself, and that does mean getting rid of a lot of things. And, you know, unfortunately or fortunately, that's probably a good thing, depending on what side you're looking at. And I think it's a good thing.
It is absolutely a good thing. We could do a lot more with a lot less. And we can do a lot more by just living in a manner that is more conducive to compassion and without the greed that has been the cornerstone of of this society, really, and other societies around the world. It's the greed factor. And the greed is not natural to the human condition. Greed is a learned element of the human personality. So what does that?
Well, I would tend to believe that it's a lot of our own ego that we have within ourselves, and sometimes it really does get way out of hand. And in some cases with what we consider, you and I consider the elites, it's very much out of hand, and it does need to change. And slowly people will, you know, start to wake up. I hope it's faster than slower, but they've been pretty slow lately. My big saying for people, Alan, is you really need to get your head out of the sand or you're going to get your butt kicked really hard, seeing how it's the only part showing.
Absolutely. As soon as you wake up and get out of your, not really get out of your comfort zone, stay within your comfort zone, but look over the fence. Take the minute to look into something which you would not normally look at and say, wow, how does this play? How does this feel? And doing so just might send you down another path to look for something else in research, and that will lead to something else. And you, in the course of a half an hour, you can find some amazing bits of information out there that you had no clue existed. And they'll have you in a wowing situation. In the mid-80s, I came across a videotape by William Cooper, who was a whistleblower for a long time, and he happened to be murdered outside of his home in, Arizona, in 2001. He was murdered by federal agents. He was a whistleblower for who murdered Kennedy,
mm-hmm.
who he also had personal exposure to UFOs while he was in the Navy, and he was relieved of his position in the Navy and sent to Washington at a desk job, and from there he started doing some research and came across some materials implicating who was at the core of the Kennedy assassinations, and plus the UFO information and the beginnings of the New World Order. He was banging the drum back in the early mid-80s about the Bush family and Daddy Bush and his CIA, and what came to transpire with that whole family. Back in the 80s, he was talking about this. So really, he opened my eyes through one video. I couldn't sleep for a week. And with my curiosity of for what it was at that point, that sent me on a journey from then, really just not avidly seeking things, but when something mm-hmm. caught my ear or my eye, I made sure I got into it a little deeper and put that into my memory banks as to, yep, this is what's going on in this sector of the world. Keep an eye on that when things come forward. So it's been a lifelong education and journey, but at the same time, it's, well, why isn't everybody else doing this?
See, here's the thing, Alan. Basically, humans are lazy. They really are. They don't want to know, because if they do know, then they have to do something, take responsibility, and they don't want to do that. So here's my challenge. We're almost out of time. Okay. So here's my challenge to all the listeners and to anybody who would like to try to debunk or prove us wrong or whatever we're saying, is just to go on to Alan's website. Again, it's www.2012.com, and read through his site, and then you go do some of your own research, maybe half hour a day. See if you can prove the information that he has on there wrong. And if you can, I'm sure he will, you know, answer it for you. But that's a challenge that I have for everybody who's listening to the program today. And Alan, our time is up. I'm going to have you back again because we got some more things to talk about. So I'll have you back again. But thank you for taking the time to be on the show.
Thank you, Nancy. I enjoyed it very much. And, we could go on for hours getting into the details. And I encourage people who view my site to please, you know, if you have better information or more current information, let me know about it. And I mention very often, like, I get people from all over the world looking at my website. And I often correspond with them back and forth from other countries.
Mm-hmm.
Half the people who view my site are from the United States. The other half is from the rest of the world. And with the half that are from the United States, 5% of my population from the United States is the federal government.
Of course. So that you tell everybody.
I must be doing something right.
Yes, you probably very much are, Alan. Anyway, it's been great. My time is actually up and our time is up, but I will have you on again. But thank you for taking the time. You're very welcome.
Good night.
Good night. I'd like to thank you, the listeners. May God bless all of you. Check out the site and come up with your own conclusion. Take care. Bye now.